tell us a little bit more about the concept and ideas behind this the band's first album.
Well, there's no concept behind it. It's just songs that I wrote over the years. Like from 2005 to 2008, I kept writing songs. I didn't know they were going to end up on an album. Actually, the album project came in 2008. I had all the songs written, and we just recorded it. But the title "Ghosts" comes from the title track "Ghosts of the Past," and it's just a song about the great memories and stuff like that. You know, it's pretty usual as a theme, but I'm not a real good poet, you know.
And so you like you mentioned, you never expected to make the album. So how did the band came together and you guys went ahead with such an ambitious production?
Well, I must say, our drummer joined the project back in 2005. We were just recording a demo, but it never came concrete because we just didn't have a singer. I had to decide upon doing it myself a few years after. But so the drummer joined in 2005, and we've tried to record a demo about three times, I think, but it failed every time, fortunately. In 2008, I wrote a few new songs, so I had enough material to record an album, and I was just talking over the internet with my drummer, and we said, we could do an album now with what we've got, and he told me, I'm sure you can sing the songs, and I was like, yeah, I learned singing a bit in school because I was studying music in college back then, so I learned how to sing notes properly, so I decided to try it. I had to record the whole thing twice because the first time was so bad I couldn't publish it. But you say it's an ambitious project. I must say so too because, you know, I've been listening to stuff like A Race to the City of Fire, Aventasia, and stuff like that, and I just had to have those symphonic arrangements and choirs in my music. I couldn't just publish an album of normal guitar-oriented metal, so I did most of it myself, actually.
And how satisfied are you of how the album actually sounds, final product? How satisfied are you with the final product now?
What's the question? I just heard the final product now.
Oh, how satisfied are you with this final product now?
Well, I'm pretty satisfied, actually. There's a few flaws in the mix and in... Maybe some takes could have been done better, but I'm actually very proud. I think I like it more than most other artists like their debut album because I worked a lot on it, and there's nothing I could have done in a really better way. I don't regret anything, any choice. Everything has been done like it should have been. I think we redid most of the stuff at least twice. I mean, in January of 2009, we were actually finished with all the recordings except the choirs. And I was so unsatisfied with what we had back then that I redid everything except drums. So we kept the original drums and re-recorded everything, guitars, bass, and redid the orchestration. And I redid all the vocals in the fall of 2009. And it's afterwards in the beginning of 2010 that I finished the whole thing and we started mixing. Maybe the only regret would be in the mixing process or something like that. But it's actually pretty good. I think it's better than a lot of other debut albums coming nowadays from bands that don't actually have big budgets because we didn't have a big budget, you know.
And yeah, that was one of our questions. So how do you manage to get all this stuff done so well with, you know, not a big budget?
Well, it's 2010, you know. The drums were recorded in a real studio, but we triggered the whole thing with a computer. So the sounds you hear are not the sounds recorded in the studio, except for the cymbals. Everything else was passed through some kind of drum plugin, but it's what he played with other sounds. It was sound replaced. So that makes the drums sound very good. And the guitars and bass guitars were recorded with DI boxes. Do you know what they are?
No, we heard of them, but no.
It's, I'll explain quickly. It's a small box to record the dry signal of the guitar and bass to a computer, and then we can pass it through real amps or plugins or any piece of gear that actually creates a final processed guitar or bass sound. So I recorded the guitars in my little studio. I was alone, and I was just recording the dry signal, and then we used a piece of gear called an AXFX. So we passed every rhythm guitar track through it with different sounds, and it ended up sounding pretty good. And actually, for the orchestrations, well, they are just computer plugins. It's not that hard to get great sounding orchestrations. You just have to know how to program them. We don't need much budget. You know, the plugins are not that expensive. So like $400 to get a very good orchestration plugin, so no problem. And the vocals, well, I actually had to buy a pretty good microphone and a good preamp and good stuff, and I just did it all myself. I was actually alone all the time. I recorded the vocals, and the choirs sound that great just because we recorded many tracks, and we actually made sure the room was very dead. And it's not that hard to get good recordings in 2010 deal. The only part where most bands fail, I think, is the mix. They get it mixed by people who are not very, very good, and there's a lot of mixing errors, mistakes. I don't want to talk shit about any other band, but it's often the case of what happens. I must say, you know, you've reviewed the Icewind album.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was recorded in a very good studio. It should have sounded a bit better than it sounded at the end. I think our album sounds better, and we have much less budget for recording. So it's in the mix. It can't be because of the recording process. It's only because of the mix. You know, like in that album, I think the vocals are too weak and the drums are too loud. So I think it doesn't sound like it should have sounded. I don't know if you've heard the first album, All Is Dust.
Oh, no.
No, you should. I don't know if you like their new album, but the first album didn't sound as good, but the mix was better to me. Maybe the recording was done in a... It was not as good, but the mix colored the music in a better way to me. It's just my opinion. I don't want to talk shit about anyone.
And...
Yeah?
And, I mean, in terms of... you did all this stuff in the studio. How are the songs working out live?
We actually have the keyboards and choirs playing back from my drummer's iPod. It's funny, but... that we had to bring those live because otherwise it wouldn't sound like in stanza. But most of the time the sound men don't put the playback loud enough, so we only hear the guitars and that sucks. But when we hear the iPod very well, it sounds very good. It sounds like it should. I think maybe it probably would be better if we had a real keyboardist and a big, bringing a laptop on stage for the other orchestrations and all, but for the moment we are too poor, so we only can bring an iPod. It's sad, but it's true.
And in terms of, for us, the live side of bands, we don't kind of prefer when people just play samples live. What were your thoughts? Did you ever had a conflicted opinion on if you wanted to do it that way or actually get a keyboardist?
You want to know my opinion about samples live?
Yeah, basically.
Well, for bands with big orchestrations, it's not even an option. You know, Nightwish brings a lot of samples live. They can't, even if they have a keyboardist, he can't play it all at the same time.
Yeah.
And, even keyboards don't sound like that. Those sounds come either from a real orchestra like Nightwish for the last few albums, and most of the time, like I said, it comes from plugins like East West Symphonic Orchestra or stuff like that on a computer, and they'd have to bring a MIDI controller on stage and pass it through the laptop with the plugins, and that's what most do, but they can't bring all of the orchestrations on stage, so they bring samples, even bands with keyboardists, except, bands like Stradivarius or other bands. They don't have big orchestrations. They mostly have synths, and you can't do it all with only one keyboard. It's not as keyboard-driven as bands like us or Nightwish or Rhapsody of Fire.
And did you ever thought about the trade-off for maybe making the album a little bit less boombastic, but you know more, live performance friendly?
Not really. Actually, I didn't even know we'd end up playing live, but we do now. But I actually think it's not bad bombastic, except the choir section. But I mean the you know Ed Guy. You ever seen them live?
Yeah.
They don't have all those choirs, but it's very effective live because all the guys in the band sing, and most of the time the crowd sings too, so it sounds good. And that's what happens. It even happens to us sometimes. We are not very well known here, but when our friends come up, they all know the choruses and they sing with us. And my bass player also does back vocals. It's pretty effective. To me, the difference between an album and a live show is. It's a bit like the difference between seeing a play and a movie. It's not the same thing. It's, you know, the movie has been edited with a computer and special effects and a lot of budget, and the play is live. They learn their parts by hand, and they have, you know, they can make mistakes, but in a movie, you can't really make mistakes because it's edited and it's done and redone and redone. And to me, that's my opinion. I like to work in studio and add a lot of stuff. And it comes up pretty good live, actually. Most people like us, but they don't say like, it doesn't sound like the album. It doesn't sound like the album, but you know, we play in small venues with you know, the sound guys are not very 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 professional. So even if we had all the key, even if we had like three keyboardists and a real choir, it wouldn't sound like it does on the album because. On the album, it was mixed and everything, so it's not really possible to make it sound like that live, except when we've got a crew, you know, like Rhapsody of Fire and Nightwish Must Do. They have a crew that are used to set up shows for that band, so it sounds like it should. I mean, they play in big venues with huge consoles and everything. We don't, so. But I prefer doing an album that way. I can't write guitar riff driven music that's just not me. Even if I try, it's not me. My drummer also he's a death metal fan, and he always tries to write death metal songs, but it always ends up being melodic death metal songs. He can't do something without melody and without catchy stuff. Even if he tries, he always ends up like that. It's the same thing here. You know, on the album, the second-to-last song is The Key. This is the only song on the album that has a lot less orchestrations. Actually, that song sounds pretty much the same live. And The Power of the Mind is not that keyboard-driven either. So a few songs are pretty, they're not that bombastic to me.
And in terms of the flow and the arrangement of the songs, how much thought did you put into it and how to place them on the CD?
What?
Once again? In terms of arranging the songs for the album to flow, how much thought did you guys put into that?
You mean the track list?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I almost chose it myself. At the beginning, I knew Ghost of the Past was going to be the first song. Even though it's the one I finished last, I knew the album had to start with that one, and the album had to end with The Desert Fuck. So from now I had the first and last song, you know, except the intro. But and then I listened to the ending of Ghost of the Past, and I was like trying to choose the next intro that would flow the best way, and Power of the Mind sounded very very good for that. And I also had I just don't know what I'm gonna say. That's why. Then I was trying to make sure the album didn't have all of the slower songs following each other and all of the speedy songs following each other. So I had to think a bit about that. And I wanted the album to be consistent. So that's why I didn't. I could have put The Key and Power of the Mind and Ghost of the Past and all of those more catchy songs at the beginning and put the A Genius Who Believes, Heavenly Hell, and The Desert Fox, which are longer songs and maybe a bit less, maybe less effective the first time you listen to it. I could have put them all at the end, but I wanted to have the key as a second to last song, so there was a third or a fourth, I don't know, a third hit song, you know. It might not be a hit, but it's more of a single song. It's 4 minutes, and it's very catchy, and people remember the chorus from the first time they listened to it. And I didn't want to have all of those songs at the beginning, you know. Most of the bands have catchy songs at the beginning, and then most albums tend to fall short, and then they put a great song at the end. But most albums have like 12 songs. I only wrote 7. I can't write music very, very often. I'm not inspired all the time, and I couldn't write 12 songs in like 2 years. So I only take the best. Probably I could, but I wouldn't like them all as much as I like the stuff that's on the album.
And like you mentioned, then, you sound like a very perfectionist person. Have you started thinking about what comes next after this release, or are you guys focusing?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's actually, I'm thinking about your earlier question. It's gonna be more symphonic than the first album. Me and my drummer, we really want to have a very symphonic record. I don't know. Do you know the band Fairyland?
Who?
Fairyland from France.
Yeah.
Phil from Fairyland offered to do orchestrations with me for the second album, so it's very nice. He's a lot more professional than me with orchestrations. Of course, it's like it's what he does the most. So I will even collaborate on the next Fairyland release. I'm probably gonna play the guitars on this album, actually.
Oh.
I actually started recording. I already started recording demos for him, and he liked that. And he said something like, "It would be nice if you could come to France to record the next album." And I'm like, "Fuck yeah!" So it would be more symphonic and maybe a bit more melancholic than the first album. You know, I was young when I wrote the songs on the first album, and now I've experienced a lot of shit since then. And the second album would be a bit more tragic, a bit more melancholic, tragic, but it will keep all of the catchiness. Of course, it's what makes our music what it is. But it will be different, you know, maybe a bit more acoustic parts. I've been inspired a lot by bands like Labyrinth. You must know that.
Yeah.
The first Return to Heaven Denied album is one of my favorite albums ever, and I want to have that acoustic parts and a very emotional tone to the music. But once again, I think their choruses, I wouldn't do choruses like they do, but the rest of the songs are very good. And that's something that really inspires me. And, you know, bands like Secret Sphere or other Italian bands, I'm actually pretty inspired by Italian bands. I think we sound a bit like an Italian band. We don't sound German or Swedish. I don't know, but that's my opinion.
And I mean, being from how's the local scene? How is the band positioned there? Like you mentioned, that you guys are still not quite known, and how do you think that the album is actually helping you more be in the spot now in the worldwide spectrum?
Well, actually, Metalogic Records does a great job at promoting the album worldwide, but he doesn't actually work to get us more known here. He's not a manager. He's the label. He wants to sell the album, and he doesn't care about anything else. And it's okay. It's not his job. But now there's someone we met really lately. She's a booking agency, and she really, really likes what we do, and she wants to make a lot of promotion around and make us play with bigger bands. You know, create a sort of buzz around our band. So that's nice, and we try to play live. We try to promote ourselves a lot, the best way we can. But we are musicians. We're not marketing agents or things like that. But we do our best. There's not many power metal bands in Quebec, so I think the name will get out pretty quickly. But it's still power metal. You know, we won't sell 100,000 of albums.
And what are your goals and expectations for the band then? Where do you see the band in the next few years? Or where do you want to see the band in the next few years?
Well, I'd like to get a bit more known. You know, like, if we could sell all of the albums we actually we actually had, it would be nice. We printed 1,000 albums. If we manage to sell 1,000 albums, I'll be happy. And I just want to do another album. I'll work hard on songwriting for the other album. So far, I've been the only one writing music for the band. But maybe my drummer will help me with a few songs for the second album. He writes good music. He's actually a musician. He's not only a drummer. He plays guitar, a bit of keyboards, and you know, he's all around a good musician. So we can help. And I want to play live. I would like to play live a bit more and a bit. I would go further. Of course, I like to play it somewhere else, like in Ontario or Northern United States. But I don't know. We'd have to have someone helping us to promote the shows there and find bands and venues, because it's not my personal strength. Doesn't lie in that kind of stuff. I'm a musician. I'm very glad we've got a label, because I would have a lot of problems dealing with the business, money, and sending stuff all over the world. I'm not a logic person. I'm not a practical person. I'm just a dumb artist, you know. I'm poor all the time, you know. I'm not good at those. But we have people who like our music enough to help me, and that makes me happy, because it's like a way of saying thank you for the music, I think. And because we don't have to pay any of these people, they do it for free and they help us. That's really nice, actually. They do something I wouldn't do myself, and I love that.
And how do you think, or what do you think about the response from the press and the people checking out the album? Are you pleased with what people say about it? Do you think people are getting it, or what are your thoughts?
Most reviews like yours and High Wire Days' review and a few reviews from Europe are very nice, but we've got a few reviews saying it's not original. I know it's not original, I don't mind, but there are reviews I read that say our music is more happy than Freedom Call. I'm not very sure of that. That I've been a bit, I found that awkward, actually. I was not very pleased with those comments. You know, being happy is not necessarily negative for me, but I think our music is a bit... I don't think it sounds happy. What do you think?
No, not too much at all.
it's powerful, of course. It's full of energy, but it's not negative. It's not dark, but I don't think it's happy like Old Freedom Call was. I love Old Freedom Call, but I don't think... It's not the direction I wanted to take, except for the choirs, of course. But, well, I'm actually pretty glad. I know we've had a few people really, really loving our music, and they want to have signed copies with guitar picks or everything. Like a fan from Romania who talked to me last night over Facebook, he really, really wants to have guitar picks from us and autographs and everything. It's good. It's great. Of course, it's one person, but there's a few more people, actually. I think people really like our music, and I know most local bands are loved by their friends because they know them, but most, I don't think those bands get a lot of attention in the United States or in Europe, because they lack the hooks, and I think we've got that. I like to be modest, but I think we've got hooks that most local bands lack. So that's why people all around the world can actually be hooked by our music, even if they don't know us or see us live. Our music works well. It's effective. It's catchy. It's not complicated. It was meant that way. It's not too commercial, but it's not like progressive stuff. I always wanted to have those catchy choruses and melodies and stuff like that all the time. I don't want to bore the shit out of anyone. Starting from myself, I'm a very hard to please listener, so I'm a very hard to please songwriter too.
In terms of, like you said, touring, you guys didn't want, at the beginning, like you mentioned, you guys didn't want to, play live. And how do you feel that now the band will be coming along, and how ready will you feel if somebody just offers you a tour in the next few months?
It feels very, what?
Yeah, how ready do you guys feel if somebody, offers you to tour in the next few months?
Oh, it would be hard to tour, not because we are not good enough. It's because of our jobs, and you know, my bass player is actually studying in college, and my drummer works. We all work full time except our bassist, who's studying, but it would be hard to get the holidays necessary for playing live on tour. It would be very hard. I don't think we could do so at the moment because we are very poor guys. We couldn't afford to do that. Well, most bands, you know, most bands from Europe have, so those guys have nice jobs. You know, they studied and they got nice jobs and they can afford to be like three weeks without working, and their boss don't really mind. And but here, if my drummer wanted to go on tour, he'd probably just lose his job.
And is that a step that you guys would be willing to take? Do you think the band has enough in it to become self-supporting in a few years?
Yeah, maybe. I think we would be willing to do it if we knew people, if we had a bigger fan base, and we knew we would get a paycheck at the end of the show. Then I wouldn't lose my job to do a tour and get like $20 a show. that would be a bit stupid. I'd like to play live as much as we can and do tours and all, but of course it's unfortunate. But the money side of it counts too. We don't do it for money, but we don't wanna. I don't wanna end up sleeping sleeping in the park, you know. So I couldn't afford doing a tour, and even doing albums is pretty expensive. But we can manage to put money aside for a while, and then record the album and pay and have a nice budget. But playing live is not the same thing. But so far, I think, you know, we couldn't do a tour. Well, maybe we could do a tour in Canada with a band, and, you know, maybe if a band like Ed Guy or Camelot comes, maybe we could support them for the whole tour. But most of the time, they take other bands from Europe, I think. I don't know, but maybe it could happen. The booking agencies here have their favorite power metal bands from Quebec, and when a big band comes, they always think of them as supporting acts, and they won't ever contact us because we are newer. But you know, they should hear us. Maybe they'd give us a chance. But
well, only time will tell, I guess.
What?
Time will tell on that note.
Yeah, of course. But we have to keep up and do a lot of promotion and be active. Most local bands are inactive. They're only active when they get an offer for a gig, and then we've got to rehearse. But I try to stay active and try to do something. I don't write music often, but I always want to keep the band active. Like we always rehearse once a week. You know, it might sound normal for you, but I can tell you most. I know a lot of metal bands who don't even rehearse once a month. We are friends. Even though my bass player and drummer live pretty far from here, actually, it's like it's an hour and a half from here. But they come every week, and we have a good time and rehearse and unite ourselves as a band. That's very important to me. That's what I thought would be the problem in our band, but with the lineup we have now, there's a great band unity, and that's important for me. You know, after seeing bands like Ed Guy live, I just don't want to look like a band like Symphony X live, you know? they're great, of course. They're the best musicians ever, but they're a bit boring to watch. So they don't look like they're friends. They are professionals, and, you know, ever seen them live?
Yes, it became just a job for them.
What?
It just becomes a job for many of those bands.
I didn't get what you said.
That it just becomes a job for most of those bands.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. that's what I don't think I would like to tour every year and have a record deal and have to do albums and all. It would become a job, like, you know, even porn stars must hate having sex someday because it's a job and they get paid for it and they have to do it. It sucks the fun out of it. So for now, it's still a hobby. It's my passion. Of course, I'm always working around music, teaching guitar. I thought teaching guitar would be fun all the time, but I can tell you, it's fucking not fun all the time. I actually get bored and lose all of my patience often. Even I have a guitar in my hand, and I'm just teaching someone. I'm talking about music with someone, but it's a job, and it's a job. I'm sure even guys in big bands can get bored of it, and I don't think they can have the thrill of playing live every night for like 10 years. It must go away, and then you know, they just do it like playing in their living room. I don't think it's very nice. But I've never experienced it, of course. Maybe the thrill stays there. I don't know.
Well, maybe we'll be talking in 10 years, and you can tell me about it.
maybe. That would be very surprising, because power metal seems to be dying nowadays, and we come from Quebec. How many professional power metal bands come from Quebec? The answer is close to none. Do you know any other band except Iceland coming from Quebec?
Not really. From the genre, no.
No. There's Forgotten Tales, but they don't play live very often. They charge too much, so they don't get opportunities. They charge like $200 and more than $2,000 to play live. It's like 10 times as much as we charge. So they are very good. They're very good musicians, but they are a bit older. They're like 40 years old, I think. So they don't they're not stupid and young like we are.
And just to kind of wrap things up, is there anything that you want to say to the people that are going to be listening to this interview that are interested in the band and then really enjoy the band's album?
Yeah, it's really nice to know people actually like our music. It's even more surprising knowing people in the United States of America like our music. It's not really American sounding music. It's nice. So if anyone's interested, well, thanks for your interest, and you can always leave feedback to us. We always reply to people, and we like to talk to everyone who likes our music, unless there's 10 million of them, but so far it's not a problem. I like to answer, and people like having answers from us, so it's very nice. So if anyone likes our music, just drop us a line, and we'll have a good time talking about it, and if we ever play the United States, we'll catch you up there.